Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 347. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me in Las Vegas. And listen, we're coming to you one day earlier than normal. Normally, for 347 consecutive weeks, I'd say about 344 of those or so, we sit down on a Thursday night to record this podcast. But this was one of those rare ones where it made sense for us to do it on Wednesday night. It's a crazy week. Cole Coffee's got a lot going on. I've actually got a 5 a.m. flight out tomorrow. So we were a little worried that maybe communication would be a problem or travel delays would be an issue or whatever. So we're coming to you one day earlier than normal. Cole Coffee, how you doing on this beautiful Wednesday evening?
I'm doing very, very well. I feel like I have to roll into the weather and say that is a nice 67 degrees here. Clear skies.
Come on.
Man, I'm loving it. No, I'm feeling good, man. Today was a nice little only 10 people media day. So it was kind of a light day in terms of what the UFC has done recently. So I'm feeling good, man. Tomorrow got the day off. Got to do a little side thing and then lots of moving crap. Just sort of getting started on that whole deal. And yeah, man, I'm super stoked, man. Super stoked to be here.
Yeah.
Be doing episode 347 and to talk about this fight card.
Listen, before we get to the fight card, though, I got to say, we've got a little development. As you said, you've got some moving going on. We've got some excellent progress going on in the relocation of the Casa de Cold Coffee. You now have the keys to the new property, which is fantastic. I'm sure the
keys, garage door opener, and everything. Unlike the one here where I have to go out, take the padlock off, open it up, put the trash can so I can lift it up, and then it tilts up. This one, it's all fancy. I can actually push a button, and it rolls up on its own.
Well, that is fantastic. I'm sure the staff is over there right now, kind of preparing the grounds, getting everything
all ready
to go for it.
They're dusting things. They're dusting. They're preparing the grounds.
All right, but here's what I wanted to get at, Cold Coffee. We've had a little bit of a development in the Casa de Cold Coffee, and I need to find out from you if this is an absolute blessing of the new property or if this is, you know, perhaps a curse that is going to lead to your ultimate demise. But we have found that, as best I can tell, now I haven't seen it yet. I will certainly be making the visit to the new Casa de Cold Coffee sooner rather than later. But my understanding is there is a bar that is open 24 hours a day that is within 100 feet of the Casa de Cold Coffee. And if that were not enough, which it should be. I mean, that right there is danger
in
itself.
I mean, that's winning.
But is it? We're about to find out if it's winning or not. But and spam musubi on the menu, which just happens to be a favorite little junk food delicacy of yours. And listen, it may be winning now, but when you have spent all of your rent money on drinking at this bar.
On spam and drinks. I know. There goes the whole trying to lose weight thing out the window. Unless I only eat one or two spam musubis a day and just nonstop, but then my cholesterol probably go through the roof. But yeah, dude. And I believe it is a bar that is affiliated with Browns and Buckeyes.
Get out of here.
There's one over by my house here. It's called Sporting Life Home Field. This one is just Sporting Life Bar. It's owned by a Buckeye. And so more than likely, it'll be a Buckeyes and a Browns bar within 100 feet of the house that I can walk to, and it sells spam musubis, which I fucking love spam musubis. I really, really do.
I'm just gonna go ahead and I'm gonna make a prediction. I'll give it. We'll say 60 days. Okay, I'll give you 2 months. I bet within the first 60 days of you at the new Casa de Cold Coffee, there will be at least one media day or one weigh-in where you're rolling in hot from the night before. You've been there all night long, just chilling at the Sporting Life, and you're rolling in.
You're giving me 60 days. Wow, you're giving me some credit there. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You're saying, like, man, the first month he's going to be good. Second month he's going to fall back into the old routine. I hope not. But if it does, the best part is that I'm even closer to the UFC headquarters than I am now. So I'm very, very excited about that. But I'm hoping not. I'm hoping I don't go crazy, because this particular location is not like the Keg or like one of my local ones where it's like you go in and you get super high, you know, full drinks, and they're charging you pennies on the dollar as opposed to here where it's a brand new place. So I have to do lots of flirting and whatever to try to get in the good graces here, but right. Who knows? But no, it should be good. You know, anytime that now we have a watering hole that say, if you come over to tape the road show, we can, go get fresh frosty beverages, served to us, by a staff within 100 feet.
That is crazy, man.
It's going to be a blessing.
That is crazy. I'm looking forward to it.
And I didn't even know it. It's not like I'm trying to find a place that has a bar right next door, but lo and behold, when I certainly found out that it was, I was even more excited. And I didn't even look at the menu. And when you said, oh, my God, they got Spam with Soupies, I was like, shut up. So, I'm going to have to test my discipline and not let myself go over there every night and have Spam with Soupies.
But at least,
by Lord, I would.
Once you get moved in, we'll have to go christen the place with an episode of the Road Show, yes. Or at least maybe yes. Just spend an afternoon just starting to make some relationships over there and put in some work.
That's it.
All right, love it, man. Well, hopefully the move will go smooth. I know you got that coming up over the holidays, and we'll keep everybody updated over the next couple of weeks. I'll just share a little bit from my own life. I got a little taste of the VIP life this past weekend, man.
Yes,
I got,
you did.
I got to go to my very first Las Vegas Raiders game. So I did post a picture on social media, so a lot of people might have seen it. But, man, it was my first Raiders game, and I got to go as a personal guest of Bruce Buffer. And let me tell you something. When you go as a personal guest of Bruce Buffer, you get that VIP royalty treatment, man. I think I'm ruined for life at Allegiant Stadium now because,
yeah, right.
Listen, man, I met Buffer, he has a normal plus one. He's announced every single Raiders game this season where he does an opening. It's pretty cool. I got to see it up close
and
personal.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's pretty cool.
He's doing every single one of them. So he hit me up on Saturday and was like, hey, John, he's like, my normal plus one can't make it. She's got some work activity she's got to do. She's like, would you want to tag along for the Raiders game? I'm like, yeah, I actually would. Mm-hmm. So, it was VIP. You know, he likes to joke sometimes that he lives that James Bond lifestyle. But I'm telling you, man, I drove over to the M. He was staying at the M. I drove over to the M, parked my car, met him in the lobby. And, of course, you know, we get into the private transportation, we get whisked away, you come to the back gate of the stadium, we drive down the ramp underneath the stadium, there's staff there to meet us in a golf cart that's like, oh, Mr. Buffer, and your name, I'm just this scrub tag along. And he was very nice. He was like, yeah, no, this is John Morgan, he's from USA Today. He's doing, I was like, man, I'm just here hanging out. So whisked away into the all the back corridors of the stadium, and they take us to the UNLV locker room, which ended up basically being like our private locker room while we were waiting for the opening. They had it catered in there with some beverages and snacks and everything ready to go. And then when it came time, they're whisking us through all the back corridors. I'm getting to see all these parts of the stadium you'd never get to see otherwise. Take us up to that platform, and Buff's like, bro, come out here on the platform with me. I was like, I don't know if I'm actually supposed to be there, Bruce. He's like, come on out here, man. Come on out. So we're out on the platform where he's doing his announcing, and it was pretty cool the way they do it. And obviously, you know, we know as MMA fans the Bruce Buffer style. He changes up the language a little bit, but he ends with, it's time, you know, his big phrase. And it's pretty cool because, like, as soon as he hits it, like, the players are already on the field and, like, the lights pop up and then it's kickoff time. I mean, it's, like, seconds away, you know. So it's, like, a very cool Las Vegas way to start out the game. But, you know, and then after that, you know, the staff takes us to the VIP club area of the thing, making sure we're all okay. Like, I've never had staff come and check on me at a game to make sure I'm doing okay and if there's anything I need. But when you live that Bruce Buffer lifestyle, man, I don't know if I'm ever going back to Allegiant Stadium, to be honest, man. I've had the VIP experience, and it's all downhill from here.
Yep.
And dude, even when we left. We left. I don't know if you've ever seen this because it's kind of a weird thing. Like, they didn't build the stadium with much parking. They used the parking lots over at the Strip. So I'm sure you've seen it, but if anybody hasn't, like, you see these massive hordes of people, like, shoulder to shoulder, like, leaving at the same time and have to cross over this footbridge to get over to the other side of the highway where the parking lots are. Not us, sir. No, no, no. We just jumped in our private car, came out the back entrance of the stadium from underneath, and we were back at the hotel in, like, 3 minutes. I'm like, this is amazing.
You're going to have to figure out who his plus one is, his normal plus one, and off the off the girl so that you can become his new plus one. Help him while he's grieving, you know, and say, Buff, you know, I'll help you out, bro. I can come to that game with you. I'll keep you plied with alcohol. Let's do this.
Oh man, I'll sacrifice you. Boy, you sure seem to be using that offing word a lot lately. What's up with that, man? After your incident with Sean Woodson,
you gotta finish her off. Finish her off. Does that mean you're gonna rub her out if you finish
her
off?
Hey, whoa! What is that?
you guys are the perverts.
Oh,
perverts!
You got both.
Every single one of you. So I'll ask when John before we started taping, and I said the same scenario. I was like, "All right, so imagine you're a hunter and you're out hunting, and you wound an animal, and say there's two hunters out and they wound the animal. They walk up to it. What does the one hunter say to the other?
And
finish him off.
No, I said shoot him. I said shoot him again, and you said finish him off. And I was like, I'm not about to reach down there and finish off this animal that's wounded. Like,
you're so fucked up. Yeah, that's all you guys.
For anybody,
every single one of you, you're all dirty birds.
I was going to say, for anybody that doesn't know, we talked about it on the and a half episode, but also, of course, the great Bohashinya Depot was privy to your comment to Sean Woodson as well, where after this fight
it's almost like he was just fed the information. I didn't realize that he goes and pays attention to all these media day interviews, you know? Crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
I don't know how far back you want to peel the curtain today.
I don't think
that pleased you too much to find out that, hey, I'm the one that gave it to – not me. There was somebody else in the media room that admitted I'm the one that gave it to Bohashinya Depot. But for anybody that didn't see it, of course, Sean Woodson had that great finish with body shots. And Cole Coffey said, have you finished a guy off like that before?
Next time I'm just going to make it more clear and just say, have you jerked him off? Did you ever jerk a guy off? You perverts.
Oh, man.
Amy Kaplan about died when it happened. She looked over, and then afterwards she couldn't stop giggling. I said, stop it, Amy. It's not that. You know that's not what I meant. She's like, I don't know. I was like, I hate you. I hate you, media.
It shall live in infamy. All right, listen, Media Day was today. As you said, UFC Fight Night 198 is the card this weekend. Vieira versus Tate, a big fight in the women's bantamweight division with Ketlin Vieira versus Misha Tate returning again. This is, I guess, chapter number two of Misha Tate 2.0. You know, this card, this card doesn't have as many big fireworks as – I mean, I thought last week's card going into it, we just knew.
Last week was fucking crazy.
We just
last
knew it was going to be crazy. Card. And it delivered. Yeah. I still think there's some good fights. I don't think we're in for quite as much of a treat as we had last week, but I still do think it's going to be fun. I'm actually looking forward to it because I'll be watching from the audience, which will be a little bit different. I'm flying tomorrow morning. The reason we're doing this early is I'm flying to Memphis and ultimately driving from there to Tunica, Mississippi for CFFC 103. That's going to be Friday night, so that's on UFC Fight Pass, so make sure you tune in for that. And then I'll fly back on Saturday morning, and I got a handful of the crew at CFFC with me, and we're gonna watch the fights from inside the arena, the Apex. I'm pretty excited about it.
You should be ashamed to come in there as a spectator.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. The big question is just how sober I keep myself. It is.
That's another one. You need to watch yourself.
I am gonna watch
your
myself.
Workplace.
I am gonna watch myself. Yeah, I agree with you. I am gonna have a few frosty beverages, but I will remember that just because I'm off duty does not mean that I can just totally lose control. And,
yeah. Because they're going to see you like 5 days later or whatever. So you don't want to leave the lasting impression of what the fuck was that all about.
You're 100% right about that. And the other thing is it is actually my wedding anniversary as well. And so my wife will be there with me.
She'll keep you in line.
She is not always quite as entertained by drunken hijinks as some of my other friends seem to be. So I think,
yeah, I'm not too worried about you anymore. If she's gonna be there, I'm not too worried about you. You're fine. You'll be fine.
She just gives me the look and lets me know that I'm treading on thin ice and crossing a line, and that's when I grab a bottle of water and start settling down a little bit. So, but I am looking forward to being in the Apex as a fan. I haven't had a chance to be in there and just watch watch fights as a fan. I'm always in there working and doing play-by-play and that sort of thing. So I'm
as you should, and as you should be walking in there.
That's
Jesus,
it.
That's spectator.
It. I can't believe it. All right, listen. Let's get to the main event. I'll kind of break down what we think about the main event. But first, I thought I'd set it up with a little bit of Miesha Tate audio. Had a little conversation with her. Again, it is just hours after media day since we are doing this on a special Wednesday night edition. So before we break it down, let's hear a little bit from Miesha Tate. This is what Cupcake had to say at media day.
Miesha, I guess second fight of the comeback, right? So I just kind of wonder if this one feels different, right? Like, I mean, a lot of the unknowns have been answered. It's kind of, I guess, routine again. So what's the feel like this time?
I just feel like I'm carrying momentum from the last camp where I was having to start over, essentially, last fight. So I did answer a lot of those questions. I don't feel like I had ring rest. I don't feel like that was really a thing for me. So I don't anticipate that will feel much different this fight. I felt like I picked right up where I left off. Except now I just know I'm even better than I was then, right? I mean, I was trying to come back from being a mother of two to being a professional athlete again. Now I've hit that. I set the bar. Now I'm looking to raise the bar.
Is there more like, I don't know if it'd be tension or whatever. Like last time it's like a retirement fight. Somebody's leaving. Now it's like a top contender who they were talking about titles not too long ago. You know, does this feel like a lot different?
It's definitely different, but this is the proper progression, right? I mean, I had been retired and started a family, and I came in to fight Marion Renault, who I think was a great opponent, considering the circumstances, especially. She brought a great fight, but I was really proud that I was able to finish her, considering she had never been finished, right? She didn't have a fantastic record, but nobody in the UFC was ever able to put her away. She was always in closely contested split decision fights. So I was happy to make that statement. It's what I'm looking to do again in this fight. People want to say, I think the division has passed her by. Well, Ketlin's the one to answer those questions. She is the new blood in this division. She is the one that they're talking about being a contender. And, you know, it's exciting for me to have a style matchup like this too, because Ketlin is somebody who will fight, who will engage. She's not elusive. You know, she'll stand right there in the middle with you and throw. And I like that. Everybody knows that. Like, I like that kind of a fight. It's my favorite because it brings out the very best in me when somebody's willing to engage with me. I mean, with the fight with Marion, I mean, I'm out there throwing these like nice straight 1-2s ready to land. And you know, she's just looking to evade. That's not going to be the case with Ketlin. You know, she's going to be trading with me. So I'm very excited for this fight.
We know we had the rescheduling, of course, with COVID causing the delay. I guess how challenging was that? I mean, have to, I guess, go through a sickness and then pick back up and change the timing of everything. I mean, how challenging has that been for you?
Well, it was challenging at the time. It was very frustrating because I have never had to pull out of a UFC fight before or delay it. So I was really upset by that. And I was trying to do everything within my power to see if I could still show up on October 16th. But immediately after my quarantine, I tried to hit, you know, my strength and conditioning workout on par with where I needed to be. And I wasn't. And I just had to be honest with myself. And that's the perks of being a veteran is, look, you know, it wasn't the right time and it wasn't going to work out. And so we had to postpone it. Okay. So we're here 4 weeks later. It was that much more time for me to prepare. And I feel great now. So trust that if I didn't, you know, we wouldn't be having this fight. I feel like $1 million.
I was going to ask, I mean, I guess, I don't know how much you'd be honest about it, but do you feel you're at 100% right now, or are there any kind of lasting effects?
Oh, no, for sure. Because if, like I said, this one thing that I've learned from chapter one to chapter two is that I have to do what is right and best for me. And if it wasn't, if I was having long haul issues from COVID, you know, then I would be honest about that and I would postpone a fight. But I feel like because I did postpone it and I didn't try to fight on October 16th, I think if I had tried to fight October 16th, I might have been in a much worse position because I would have been pushing myself through COVID and not allowing my body to recover. But I gave myself ample time. I recovered. I let my lungs clear before I really started to push myself. And that was definitely the smartest decision.
Nice. You mentioned a lot about Ketlin's style. I'm just curious about what you think. I mean, obviously, you've been an analyst in recent years. I mean, she's been somebody that was on the cusp of a title shot, but she's had a couple setbacks. So when you talk about the proper progression, I mean, where do you see her? Do you see her as an elite level fighter?
I think Ketlin is an elite level fighter, of course. I mean, she's ranked in the top 10 in the division. Lately, you're right. You know, we saw her lose to We saw her lose to Irene, right? She was upset then, almost a contender at that point. I think if she had won that, she would have been fighting for the belt next. Then she got a win over Sajara Eubanks. It was a good win, but, you know, Sajara is a 125er in my opinion, so I don't consider it the, like, you know, the most credible win. And then she had a loss to Yana Kunitskaya. And that's kind of what I'm looking at her last three fights. She's well-rounded. She can do it all. She spends a good amount of time every fight on the feet. I know she's comfortable there, but she does look to get this to the ground. I mean, let's be honest, she's primarily a grappler. But when I look at her grappling anyways, I can't say that I've really seen anything that was like, oh, wow. Oh, wow. She's slick. She's really good. You know, she's, yeah. I mean, she's a good fighter, but I honestly think that I'm better on the ground. And I think that my wrestling is going to be plenty sharp enough to deal with any of her judo. You know, fights don't have to be perfect. They just have to be won. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm going to do. So I expect to fight. I expect a war. I don't expect to win every second of this fight, but I do expect to get a finish. And I think I'm going to surprise a lot of people in my striking as I continue to evolve there. This will be a fight where you would get to see my striking more than you did the last fight because of, again, that's the difference in style matchup.
You beat her and finish it the way you see her. There's only a couple of names in front of her in the division, right? I mean, do you envision your next fight as being like a number one contender fight? And if so, is there a matchup that you think makes the most sense moving forward?
Not necessarily. I think it really depends on this fight. I really want to get a finish. I know every fight people will say they want to finish, and that's true. You want to finish every fight, but I feel like it's really imperative this fight because that's what will put me in title talks, right? So it's not that I won't be happy if I got a decision win. Of course, a win is a win, but I really want that finish. Like, really want that because I want to be talked about being as the number one contender. And then whoever comes after this, you know, we'll talk about that then. But first, I got to enjoy Thanksgiving.
No doubt. Last thing for me, I did want to ask you, obviously, there is a title fight coming up in the division. You know, you could be in that mix very soon. What do you think about Juliana's chances against Amanda? I know it's a tough one, but I mean, do you like her chances in that fight?
Yeah, of course I do. You know, Amanda's a tough one for anybody. I mean, she is the Mount Everest of the division. She's the one that's everyone's like, can I do it? But I think if anybody can do it in the division right now, it's Julie. She definitely has the best case. I've trained with her. She is so tough. She's stupid tough. She doesn't go away. And you know, she has the ability to put this fight in places that we haven't really seen Amanda tested in years. We've seen what she can do to people who try to stand with her. We haven't, as of late, seen what she will do when somebody tests her on the ground. And so Julie has the cardio to do that. She has the drive to do it. She has the tenacity. She has everything that it takes to put Amanda in uncomfortable positions. And here's another thing. I think when you are the champion for a really long time and you've barely lost a second of a fight, what happens when you're, you know, underneath somebody that you didn't think you would be for a few minutes or a round or, you know, whatever? What happens in that mindset? I mean, these are the intangibles that people probably aren't taking into consideration that I do when I look at somebody like Julie fighting somebody like Amanda.
All right, maybe a little bit of a biased analysis there on the title fight. I think, yeah, obviously, we know she's a big supporter of Juliana Pena. I mean, listen, Juliana Pena does bring some things to the table that could make that fight exciting, but Amanda Nunes is an absolute killer. But at least we got that little insight. But listen, once again, Cole Coffey, I just, you know, sitting there talking to Misha today and seeing her with Johnny Nunes. And I mean, I don't know, man. She just looks to be in such a peaceful, happy, fantastic place in her career right now, man. I'm happy for her because, you know, we watched firsthand as she kind of dealt with some struggles over the years. But B, I mean, you know, she physically looks good, mentally seems good. Another one or two wins and she realistically can be talking about a title shot.
Yeah, she really can. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's something different about her mentality right now. I think it's just it's not even a confidence thing. It's just she's just sure of herself more so than ever before. She knows what she's doing. She knows her place. She knows you know, it's like the she's so in tune with like her, what she is as a mother, as a fighter. She's always been smart. She's always been well-spoken. Every time she's always been on the mic, it's always been a pleasure listening to her. The way that she breaks things down, you could just sort of see into her mind and how well she sees things through. But yeah, there's something about her now that, and I don't know if it's from bringing life into this world, you know, to having, you know, dealt with all the ups and downs of her career before to what it is now. But you just, I mean, it's hard to not get behind everything that she says, because, you know, she believes it so wholeheartedly that it's hard to not just be like, okay, well, she's so sure of it. Why am I going to doubt it? You know, I think this is a really, really tough task ahead of her. I did pick Misha, I believe, in this one. Mm-hmm. And that's nothing against Ketlin. I think it was just the last time that we saw Misha fight, it was such a dominating performance that I was just like, wow, you know, like, I don't know. It was, I think that would have been more one of the ones of where if we had questions to see how well was she back, you know. Renee was a very, very tough fighter, and she just fucking manhandled her and or womanhandled her. it was really, really impressive. And after that, I was just like, man, if she keeps going like this and she says the right things and she comes in looking good, you know, I just don't have a reason to doubt her. And I mean, she looks as fit as she's ever been.
Yes.
I think she came in, she was munching on something, you know, whereas a lot of times we'll see other fighters and the last thing they want to do is put anything near their mouth. I think she's got her body so in tune that she's able to eat through this whole process and still be trending down, you know, the final thing. So that just shows me that she's doing everything right, that she needs to right now, and that she's just coming to another level. But man, Cupcake looks good, man. I think that fight's going to be incredible. I wouldn't be surprised if we see. If I had to pick, I wouldn't just say a decision. I'm going to give Misha the win by submission.
Interesting. Yeah. Listen. So I took Misha as well, and I agree with you. Everything you said there is spot on, and it's why I took her. You know, when I sized the matchup up in my head, you know, I think about Misha being a little bit quicker, a little bit more athletic. You know, yeah. Vieira, I think, is more. And I hate to use this word because it sounds so negative, but like plodding. You know what I mean? Just kind of like power, move forward.
That's
in
it,
your face.
Because she's so powerful. She sets her feet really, really well, and then she throws those big bombs. You're right. So it does look like she's more plodding.
I hate that because it sounds like, I don't know, in my head that sounds super negative, but I feel like Misha's going to be able to move a little better. Now so that's what I thought about when I looked at the styles. Now, I'm not a huge statistics guy when it comes to fighting. I mean, you know, I think the numbers are beneficial, but obviously, you know, a fight's a fight, right? Anything can happen. But yeah. Man, here's one that did stand out to me. Misha Tate's takedown accuracy rate is 26%, which is a lot lower than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Ketlin Vieira's takedown defense rate is 92.9%, which is a lot higher than I thought it would be. Now, I don't think she's faced it's not like she's, you know, fought you know, Habib or something and had to fend off like 15 takedowns in a fight or something, but I don't know. That number right there kind of scares me a little bit, because not to say that Misha can't handle this on the feet, because I think she can, but I think she definitely puts herself at risk there. You know, in my head, I thought that Misha would be able to get on top of Ketlin and do some damage there, and when I see that, it concerns me a little bit, but I'm still sticking with my Misha pick.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about, when I'm just going back and look at the list of people that she's fought, Sarah McMahon is one of the people that she's fought, and if you're telling me that her defense is 98%, that means Sarah McMahon wasn't getting her down. Sarah McMahon is a fantastic wrestler. If she couldn't get her down, that's saying something. So I don't know. Maybe that makes me go into question the whole submission thing. She got to be able to get her down to get a submission. But I'm still confident that Misha can get it done, because she's super smart. I think she's crafty. I think she just has to get in close. She has to get in past those big strikes. But we've all seen that Misha could take a punch as well. Misha's about as tough as anybody out there. So I'm still pretty confident, but that does give you something to question. Because, man, I would have not picked or I would have not thought that that number takedown defense would have been so high as well. I mean, that's pretty much you're not getting taken down. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah,
that's pretty. I mean, I'm the same as you. I'm not a big stats person,
right.
So I'm not like if we pull out a random five people and then four of those have a 90% takedown defense because they've only ever had one person shoot on them. You know, maybe stats are maybe not everything that we give them to, but you know, she's fought some decent people. Sarah McMahon, Kat Zingano. You know, Sarge, if those people aren't getting her down, you know, that's saying something, man.
Yeah.
That really, really is.
I'm interested to see how that all plays out. I mean, we know Ketlin Vieira does have great clinch work, judo, that sort of thing. But I just didn't realize that her takedown defense was that sound. So, I guess, you know, maybe it's a situation where Misha does find herself on her back and she has to scramble from there, which she's certainly capable of doing. But I don't know. In my head, I just thought we'd see Misha enjoying some top position time. So it does cause me to give it a little bit of pause. Listen, it's a big fight in the division. Misha, you know, I don't think that, you know, it's a number one contender fight for her. It's certainly not a number one contender fight for Ketlin Vieira. But it does, you know, beckon whether or not she keeps that relevancy at the top of the division. You know, there was a time where we thought she was going to be a title contender, and then she lost to Irene Aldana. She's 1-2 in her last three. She's had a ton of rescheduling. So it's a very meaningful fight. I don't think it's a number one contender fight, but it's a very meaningful fight. So we'll see how that one plays out. The co-main event, I got to admit, I am absolutely intrigued by. I'm absolutely...
You're not biased at all in this fight. I don't. It's not like you're a homer, but I think you're just like these are just two quality.
But
people.
Yeah, well, well, that's the problem is I'm homering both ways. You know what I mean? This is this is the hard part. So obviously, Sean Brady, a former CFFC champion. So obviously, I got love for anybody that came from the CFFC. I like the guy. He's a good dude. But you know. Chiesa, man, that we go way back. You know what I'm saying? I've always been a big fan of Chiesa. We've done some broadcast work together, and he's just always been kind of a good friend over the years. And so, I'm torn on this one, but I think it's such a damn good fight, and I'm just absolutely it just sucks to even have to break it down and pick it. But let's do this. Let's start by hearing a little bit from Sean Brady because I don't know how much he's on everybody's radar or how much everybody realizes what he went through during this past year, but it's a serious one. So here's Sean Brady.
Sean, I mean, I guess like every fight, the next fight is the biggest fight, right? I mean, that's the way the career goes. But I mean, does this feel like a big moment in your career?
Yeah, it definitely does, especially not being here for a little bit, you know, having two fights fall off and then that injury I had. So I'm just super happy to be here. I'm cutting weight and everything always sucks, but I'm enjoying every single part of this. You know, my entire training camp, I enjoyed every single session. Everything about it, every run, I was just super grateful to be back. You know, there was a point I was in the hospital. I couldn't walk, and I thought I was going to lose my foot. And me, my fiance, my mom, we were pretty scared. But luckily, everything worked out, and I'm just super fortunate to be here, and I'm excited.
So, obviously, that infection was crazy. So, I mean, you thought you were going to lose the foot. So, was there a moment that you accepted that, like, my fighting career is over and maybe even think more than that? Like, I mean, that changes your entire life, right?
Yeah, well, at that point, I mean, I was honestly like, fuck the fight. Like, fuck fighting. I'm going to lose my foot. I'm never going to be able to walk. I literally couldn't get out. I was in the hospital for a week. Every time I would stand up, the pain I would feel, it was excruciating. I literally couldn't walk, so I was more concerned about that, you know. But then obviously, like, I'm just laying there, and I'm already someone who's super grateful for what I do, and I'm just like, man, like, I just can't wait to get back in the gym. Like, all I want to do is train, all I want to do is run. Like, so, and then even for a little bit after that, I had a PICC line in my arm, so it took me a little, like, I wasn't allowed to do too much, but I had an Aerodyne in my bike, and like when my fiance wasn't home, I was crushing workouts on it because I wasn't supposed to be sweating or anything. And I was like, fuck it. Like, I got to work out. So yeah, man, I'm happy, and I'm happy to be here.
So it was only when she wasn't home because she wouldn't let you exercise?
Eventually she couldn't do anything about it. She would come down and I'd be on the bike, and she just was like, she would just shrug her shoulders and be like, she knows how I am. I'm crazy. So she accepts it.
Yeah. I guess at the risk of sounding cheesy or whatever, I mean, has that made like the hard sessions, like not harding? Like, I mean, do you have like a newfound appreciation for the fact that you're able to do it?
I would say, yeah, but I've always just appreciated it. And I will say, like, being like getting closer to the fight, cutting weight, like, I would always be miserable doing that. And now I just enjoy it. You know, even like before that, I'm like, man, I have the best job in the world. I got to cut a little bit of weight. I got to be a little grump, but I eat clean all year round. So my weight cuts aren't too crazy. So I'm just enjoying it all, man. I'm super grateful and I enjoy everything about it.
That's awesome. All right. So the matchup with Chiesa, I mean, I know what a fight fan you are. I mean, is this a guy that you enjoyed watching competing?
Yeah, I've been watching Chiesa for forever, you know, so it's super cool to be able to be here and know I'm going to fight him. And I'm super excited to show my skills versus his.
Is it a guy that you thought about fighting in the past? Like, did you ever, you know, kind of think, oh, how would I match up with that guy and that sort of thing?
Once he moved up to 170 and I seen after he beat Neil and he beat RDA, I'm like, damn, he's going to be a player at 170. This is definitely a guy I would like to test myself. And after I fought Jake, I was asking for the fight, but he was on a nice run. So I knew realistically I wasn't going to get it. But then when he lost to Luque, I'm like, all right, it's a possibility. And when they came with it, with the name, we were all over it.
What do you make of him, that last setback, right? I mean, here he is, a stud grappler, and he gets caught like in a quick exchange. I mean, what did you take out of that?
It's a crazy sport, man. You can go from being on top, and then 1 second later, you're caught in a submission. So I just got to know that I have to be super present for 15 minutes, and this is my fight to win.
Nice. The hype has been building behind you for a long time, and I know you're used to it, but have you started to think about, I know you can't get ahead of this fight, but I mean, you beat Michael Chiesa, like, there's only a handful of names up there at the top, right? I mean, have you started thinking about what comes next?
Not really. I mean, I see there's all kinds of names that people are super hype about in the welterweight division right now that I'm gonna show who I am on Saturday night, and then I'll let everybody do the talking for me.
Well, you know, the one name that's going to get thrown out there is Khamzat, right? I mean, he hasn't got a matchup yet. I mean, is that a fight that you feel like the UFC is going to try to make, or do you think it's one that maybe should wait a little while, right? You got two undefeated guys. Maybe it would mean a little more down the road. What do you think?
I mean, they can let us peak or they can let us crash into each other whenever they want. So I'm not scared of anybody. You know, he's good, but I'm fucking good. So I'll fight anybody in this division. I got business to handle Saturday night, and then we'll take care of that later.
Nice. All right, last thing for me, I do want to ask, like you said, you got to be present for 15 minutes. So what kind of fight do you think we see? I mean, you guys are two stud grapplers. Is this going to be like a great one for the grappling dorks out there, or is this going to be like two grapplers that just end up banging it out because the grappling cancels out?
Man, I don't know. I think I got really good striking, and I'm excited to show that striking, but we're definitely going to get into some grappling exchanges, and I'm going to come out on top.
All right, so Sean Brady, the undefeated prospect, former CFFC champ. But man, you know, when you hear that, I don't think a lot of people realize how bad that infection was. When you hear that, you know, it's not that I was thinking about, oh, you know, when am I going to fight again? I'm thinking about, like, am I going to lose my foot and never be able to walk again?
Am I going to walk again?
Oh, my God. I can't imagine that, man. That is absolutely insane. I saw the infection when it happened. Obviously, you know, close with all the CFFC people, and the picture kind of made its rounds, and I was just like, dude, what am I even looking at right now? Like, I just didn't understand, like, what was going on. And, man, I'm happy to hear that he made it, because I cannot imagine being – can you imagine an undefeated stud athlete just breaking into his prime, you know, about to really start to cash in on the investment of all the years of work and all that, and then to have it all taken away from you, and then not only that, but the of not ever being able to walk normally again and having to learn all that. I mean, can you imagine how tragic that would have been?
That's literally – I mean, that's – two ends of the spectrum. You got a guy that's physically on the highest end of the spectrum, and then to possibly get to the point of where you can't walk unassisted is crazy. It's crazy, you know, let alone, you know, if it could have been worse. But man, that's something. That is something. But yeah, I love his perseverance, man. Kid's a stud, man.
Yeah, he really is. He really is. And
yeah,
you know, listen, I will say I did kind of have to throw out the Khamzat name. I kind of hate doing that sometimes when you're like, because I never want to be like, hey, I'm trying to take away from your shine by just dropping this name over there. But man, that's a very real possibility. Like, kind of these two undefeated guys coming up, man. I mean, I could see.
And it makes more sense than a lot of people rushing. I mean, everybody just says, oh, Khamzat title, Khamzat title. How about fighting the other fucking young little studs that are going there too, to prove that you are the guy that should get that, instead of just being the name that everybody's throwing out there? I think, I know Brady. You like Brady. That's good. That's a tough fucking matchup.
Oh, it's
that
tough.
That is a tough matchup. But that being said, that makes more sense to me as opposed to everybody just rushing to say that Khamzat needs to be the title, the next title shot. I'm just like, come on, like that. I get it. They want to rush him up, and the kid is a stud. But man, give him at least feel good about the fact that you've actually given him some fights to prove that he's up there, instead of just giving him one here and one there and be like, okay, it was so impressive, we're going to give him a title shot. He got, like, here, this guy's undefeated as well, and he's been putting on a great show. Why doesn't he get it? Oh, just because he doesn't have the everybody's favor right now, you know. But that, to me, makes sense as a great fight. As he said, too, I mean, do you kind of kill the shine of two up-and-coming right. kids right now?
Right.
Or do you make one wait? But then, you know, then you start getting the whole, well, is he ranked high enough to take my shine, you know, blah, 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 blah. But to me, it makes more sense to have these two guys that are working to be at the very top, to be the title contender, fighting it out to be the contender, instead of just skipping everybody and just saying, oh, well, you're the hot item right now, we're going to make you be the number one contender just because I like your personality.
Yeah.
You know?
I
look, and you smash guys.
I think we'll see.
But he does smash dudes.
He does smash dudes. There's no question of that. Like, I think we'll see him fight at some point. I mean, I see the value of it being like now if Brady wins, but I also see the value of, you know, pushing it down the line a little bit, making it mean a little bit more, you know, not necessarily ruining somebody's undefeated record unless it's for a title or a number one contender spot or something like that. So we'll see.
But say they even fight, and say they put that fight together. Do you think he really loses any shine if he loses to Khamzat?
No.
I don't think anybody loses shine right now. I think right now that he's like the hottest ticket right now, and I get it that everybody's trying to. I wouldn't feel bad for anybody that does. I mean, it's not like they lose anything because they're fighting a guy that, you know, for all, you know, things looking at it, he's going to be a champion at some point.
Yeah.
He's going to be a champion. I'm confident enough to say when you see what his skill sets, he will be a champion. But nobody's going to be losing any shine if they fight him, lose it. Do you lose the zero? Yes, but the UFC doesn't seem to care about that anyways.
True.
You know, it's more about your more recent performance as opposed to what you fought up to this point. The good thing about Brady, though, is, I mean, he's been putting on some really good, you know, work in the UFC. All of his zeros aren't from just out of the UFC. He's putting in good work. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4 wins in the UFC, man. That's solid, you know? So, yeah, who knows? But I just don't feel like he would lose his shine if they did put that fight together. Cause it would just depend on how bad he looked in it. I mean, I'm not saying that,
I know what I'm saying.
Like, it just depends on how the fight plays out. I mean, like, if it's over in 30 seconds, maybe it doesn't look so good. But if you actually push him to the edge, you know, and say you got that loss, I don't think anybody's going to think anything less about you. If anything else, they might be like, wow, where was this guy at? You know, why haven't we been talking about him, you know?
Well, listen, he's got a big test ahead of him now, so we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Michael Chiesa, obviously a stud as well, you know, had the slip up back in August, but certainly still a very dangerous guy, and this is, you know, the sternest test of Brady's career thus far. Let's hear from Chiesa as well. Chiesa is always a fantastic interview. He's just so open and honest, and man, I just always enjoy talking to him. So here is Michael Chiesa.
Like, obviously, last time we saw you, a frustrating one for you, right? A very kind of emotional night for you, I guess. What were the steps to kind of moving past that and just getting back to business?
It was pretty simple. The steps to getting that behind me was just booking another fight. You know, the moment I walked out of the octagon after the Luque fight, I saw Danny, my manager, and was like, I got to get back in there as soon as possible. You know, you learn from your losses, but you definitely don't want to marinate in them for too long. So I just told him, you know, let's get a fight in December. And then they gave me November. So I was like, sweet, that's perfect. So super excited about completing the trifecta. You know, I fought in Abu Dhabi. I got a fight in a packed arena. And now I'm here at Apex. So I can say that I did the full trifecta in a calendar year. So pretty excited about this opportunity.
That's awesome. I thought about that. That's cool. So you wanted to get a fight. They give you the young, undefeated, stud, up-and-coming prospect, right? Did you see that coming, that was what they were going to hand you?
I didn't even really care, honestly. I was just so anxious to get back in there and compete. So when they said Sean Brady, there was no hesitation. And it's nice because I've worked the desk for a few of his fights, so I kind of already had the drop on him. You know, I'm pretty well aware of of who he was prior to him getting in the UFC. My teammate Tyler McGuire almost fought him. So, you know, we kind of already game planning for Tyler to fight him a while ago, and that fight never came to fruition. So it didn't matter who it was that they called me with headed into this fight. But Sean Brady was the guy, so that's the matchup, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think he's a tough kid. You know, you look at these guys coming up at welterweight. You got – everybody talks about Khamzat Chimaev. No one's really talking about Sean Brady. No one's really talking about Shavkat Rakhmonov, these tough up-and-coming guys. You know, I feel like you got to include all three of them in this conversation. So it's, I'm excited I get one of these tough up-and-coming prospects. I want to give him a shot because I want to still prove that I'm still that guy.
That's cool. I know, like, what a fight fan you are in addition to just being an analyst. So, I mean, I don't want to say, would you say you're a fan of this guy? But, I mean, have you liked what you've seen out of him coming up?
Oh, dude, 100%. When he hit that one-arm guillotine over, I think it was Aguilera is his last name. I almost said Christina Aguilera. Totally would have watched that. But yeah, you know, I was working the desk that fight. That's impressive. You know, one arm submission, something I know something about. So yeah, it was really cool to see him go out there and get that win. And I like the challenges that he presents. It's a way for me to kind of right that wrong. I made one tactical error against Vicente Luque. And now it's like, you know, once they gave me the Sean Brady fight, I'm like, this is perfect. This guy's a great grappler and I can right that wrong by going out there and beating him. So I'm really looking forward to kind of hitting two birds with one stone, getting a win and just erasing the bad taste in my mouth from that last loss.
I guess you never know until you get out there, right? But like the grappling fan in me is hoping that you two guys go out there and put on some insane grappling clinic. But often when we see grapplers, right, they cancel each other out, they end up striking. So do you anticipate one over the other?
You know, I think that at some point there will be some grappling exchanges, but, you know, I've been in the UFC for almost 10 years and I haven't displayed my full set of skills. So don't be surprised if you hit the nail on the head and we cancel each other out and things take place on the feet. I think a lot of people will be surprised with what I'm capable in terms of my striking. It's just when plan A is grappling and I don't have to deviate from that and it's working, what's the point, you know? But yeah, I know he's a tough guy. I know he's well-rounded, but I think this has the potential to be a full display of mixed martial arts between both of us.
It sounds like you're excited about fighting the Apex. I did wonder kind of what the emotions are like, right? Because you come in here as like and work like office job, like sit at a desk. So like, is there going to be like a different feel? Is it a bad thing or a good thing that maybe you're so comfortable with the environment?
You know, I haven't even really thought about that. The way I've perceived the Apex is I feel like I'm going back to my Ultimate Fighter days. I look at this like I'm going back to the Tough Gym and look at the run I put together at the Tough Gym. You know, four tough fights before I fought the finale, you know, and so that's the way I look at this. I'm not looking at this like, oh, I'm walking in the office to actually get in a fist fight. I'm looking at this like this is a throwback to the Ultimate Fighter days. I'm going into the small octagon and the small venue with the small crowd to go out there and fight in a big fight. So while it's has that tough environment feel for me, it still has that big fight feeling that I'm going in there to fight a tough up-and-coming prospect. So we saw how I did. We all know how I did on the Ultimate Fighter. So I feel like that this plays into my advantage being here at the Apex.
That's awesome. Last thing for me, obviously the goal is to pick up a victory, but I wonder like, what's the overarching thing? Is it, you know, just to get the last one out of, you know, get that feeling away, or is it to prove like, hey, I had a little slip up, but I'm still a contender. You still need to be talking about me in that mix.
You hit the nail on the head. I just want to prove I'm still that guy. And there's no better way of doing that than to fight a tough, up-and-coming, undefeated prospect that everybody's super high on, as they should be. I mean, look at his line of work has been great. He's undefeated in the UFC. He's undefeated in his career. The place he cut his teeth in CFFC, I mean, that's a tough proving ground for an up-and-coming fighter. So I know what he's capable of. I know what he brings to the table. And this, he ain't, you know, this ain't no pushover. He's a tough kid, but I've got to prove I'm still the guy. And I know I am the guy. And I know I'm going to get my hand raised. And I'm super excited to get out there and compete.
I think the important follow-up, did you see that Venator signed a deal with UFC Fight Pass? Maybe you have a message for Uncle Frank.
Hey, Uncle Frank, you got to bring back Law & Order. You got to bring back me and J-Mo, dude. Come on. We killed it. I'm only getting better. So is John. We're getting our reps now that Venator FC is on Fight Pass, which let me tell you something. For people that don't know, the card that me and John called in Italy, Jack Hermanson and Marvin Vettori were on the undercard. And look at where they've become now. And I think that, you know, I think it would just be – I think it's a good fit for you and me to be back at the desk calling some fights in Italy. Let's go, Law & Order. Peace out, guys.
Right. Obviously, the most important part of that interview, of course, is the plug for Venator. You know, you got Liz. Hey.
You were just waiting to tee that out. You were just waiting the whole time. You're like, is everybody done? Is everybody done? I'll wait till everybody's done. I'm going to wait till everybody's done.
I'm telling you, man. Of course. I love me some CFFC. That is my broadcasting home right now. But
going back to Italy wouldn't suck. I'll just say that, man.
It's
not a bad place to call some fights. But no, listen, as I said, Chiesa, man, I just always think he's such a great interview because he does keep it real. And, you know, I liked him talking about the frustration and the disappointment and what it takes to move past it and having a lot of respect. I think it's so cool that both these two guys, I think it's probably pretty obvious, but if it's not, these two guys are some of the biggest, like, fight fans as well. Like, these are two of the guys that watch, like, every single fight every weekend. And so they both know each other very well, and they both have a lot of respect for each other. You know, it's a lot. It's funny how, I mean, it makes sense, I think, in a lot of ways. Like, there's a lot of fighters that don't watch fighting in their off time because I think they just want to get their mind off of it and they don't want to be stressed by it and they want to think about something else. These two dudes literally watch every fight every weekend, so I think it's cool to see the respect they have for each other. And I'm going to say, look, my staff picks was a tough one, man. I did pick Chiesa because I feel like, you know, again, we've worked together, we've known each other for a long time. I feel like that's how it is. So if you're looking at staff picks and you're thinking, I wonder what John's analysis of how this matchup would play out is, that's not what you got at all. I was just like, I can't betray my man Chiesa, dude. I've been rolling with him this whole time. So I love the new guy in Brady, but my staff pick is Michael Chiesa. But if you're looking at it, just know it is an incredibly biased pick.
Well, I am not as biased as you, but I did pick Chiesa as well. When it just comes down to his jiu-jitsu, his ground game, when it gets in those just grungy matches where they're beaten up and they're bloody and they're sweaty and they're getting hands on each other, he finds a way to get a win. And and he's just really long legs, long arms. I just feel like he's going to be too much. If it gets into a grappling match, even though Brady's got good jiu-jitsu as well, and he's got a handful of submission victories as well. In fact, I think two of the last three or something along those lines, whatever. It's not like he's a slouch by any means, but Michael's got decent striking. He's got better endurance and better, you know, toughness than I would say his overall striking game, but it's enough to where he can get in there. And if he gets a hold of him and he starts to lay hands on him, kind of peppers him up a little bit and then gets in there and is able to work his ground game and get a submission in there, I think he's going to get the submission. So that's kind of where I'm leaning as well. So your staff pick is not wrong. In fact, I think your staff pick is right. So don't feel that you're being biased, that you're doing whatever, because I kind of agree with you. I think Michael Chiesa is going to get it done.
All right. Well, listen, it is a fantastic fight, so we'll see how it plays out. I'll just be honest with you. I'm going to be sad for whoever loses. I'm going to be happy for whoever wins, and I'm excited to be watching. It is. I don't know what I'm going to have to do because, remember, I'm going with the CFFC crew, so I'm going to be sitting with a bunch of CFFC people that are just going to be going nuts for Sean Brady. So I think I might have to just, like, get up and excuse myself for a second and just move over to a different section or whatever so I can just be Switzerland right down the middle and not be in the middle of the big Sean Brady cheering section.
I mean, I think you could still be there. I mean, you don't have to, like, just be like, it's not they're going to look at you and be like, why aren't you clapping and cheering, bro? Like, I think if you're there just even if you're just clapping because the fight was good or whatever, I mean, I think it's fine. I don't think you need to run away. I mean, well, first check in with Danielle and see what she says you should be doing, and then you can go from there.
All right.
You might have to sit by her just so you calm down and don't drink as much. She might put you in the corner and be like, John, you sit right here.
Would that be funny if, like, by the time the co-main happens, like, I'm already gone from the Apex because she's kicked me out because she's like, you've had far too much to drink and you need to leave at this point. So we'll see how it goes. If you don't see me on screen, you know what happened, and we'll talk about it on the and a half version. Yeah, by the way, I'll just throw that now. I think it is my anniversary, so my wife and I are, I think we're gonna go have a nice dinner after the fights and go spend the evening together. So
you better stay sober if you have to go out afterwards. You better you're gonna be in trouble.
So if everybody over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow can give me that brief understanding, I'll get together on Sunday to do the and a half episode, so it'll be a little bit later than normal, but understand it is with good reason, because I will be again celebrating the anniversary. So, listen, a couple other highlights of the card. Kyung Hyo Kang and Hani Yaya will be facing off. Remember, this is that rescheduled matchup they were supposed to fight in July. Yaya tested positive for COVID-19 on the day of the fight. Interesting character, man. Hani is always an interesting interview. And I saw you kind of shaking your head as well. But I thought he gave such a great quote today when he was, you know, talking about his career and what it means. And the quote basically boiled down to, he's like, the best moments of my life have been in the octagon, and the worst moments of my life have been in the octagon. And
that was the most powerful thing he said all day. When he said that, I think that was probably the best quote anybody said the whole day. Like, after he said that, I was just like, wow. Wow, that was powerful. It was very, very powerful.
It really was powerful. And I thought it summed it up so well. I mean, we kind of say it in the, it's the old cliche. It's the highest of highs, the lowest of lows. But it literally really is. And when he said that, man, because he just talked about, hey, I know I can't fight forever, but I'm getting so comfortable in the octagon. And he's always said that. And, like a lot of guys, it's a little bit scary in there. It takes you a while to get comfortable in there. He's like, I'm older now, but I'm finally comfortable in there. But I thought that was so powerful. The greatest moments of my life have happened in the octagon, and the lowest, worst moments of my life have happened in the octagon as well. I thought that was powerful. Tyler Santos versus Joanne Wood. Obviously not Calder Wood anymore. She has the official name change. I do wonder if maybe she'll have like Calder will be her nickname, so it will still be Joanne Calder Wood, but we'll see. But I thought it was interesting to talk to her. Obviously, how can you not be a fan of JoJo? I mean, she's always been so fun, and she's got the cute little voice and the accent, and she's got the fun fighting style. But it was interesting to hear her talk about, the fact, and again, she's so dead set honest that, taking this matchup, she's kind of disappointed because she thought she was going to get to fight Alexa Grasso. That was going to be an absolute banger between two strikers. Now with Tyler Santos, you've got to assume Santos is going to want to take her down. I mean, she even said, she's like, look, she just fought my teammate, Roxanne Modafferi. Roxanne is a grappler, and Santos spent the whole time trying to take her down. I'm a striker. What do you think she's going to do with me? So she knows it's probably going to be kind of a gritty fight, but she took it anyway. And I mean, she took it while she was getting married in the middle of camp, which I thought was amazing. I mean, she got married 3 weeks ago, and so I did kind of wonder where her mindset was, and had she been distracted, was it stressful? And she did address it. She's like, look, I hired a wedding planner to take care of everything for me, so it wasn't stressful at all. She just basically asked me for some money every now and then, and that's what we did. So, I think I saw some people online that are like, man, how focused could she be if she's, getting married and planning a wedding? And that wasn't the concern I had, because I know that she could balance both, but I just thought the stress levels would be through the roof. But she said, no, that wasn't stressful at all, and it was good, and I'm ready to go. But it's a tough fight for her, and I appreciate her recognizing that and saying, look, this is going to be a little bit of a grind, because I think this is a tough matchup for her. So to take this as a late replacement, man, you got to give her some credit.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, maybe the late replacement, we've heard from certain fighters where the late replacement has been sort of preferred because you don't have to put too much thought into it. It's just, they're just going with the flow. She's already in shape. She's been working out. Even for her wedding, she said she wasn't drinking and doing anything crazy. So, she stayed in shape for that. So that wasn't a big worry for her. This fight is tough because this is one of those ones where if she does lose, you do sort of fall back a decent little bit. Whereas, that's not what she wants to do. And to take a short notice fight, you almost wish that there weren't going to have the same sort of repercussions with it, this is one of those ones, if she does, she does fall back. And then we've seen recently now, fighters that are letting them fight out their contract.
Right, no renewal.
No renewals, and so this is one of those ones where it's like, all right, you're taking the late notice, you want to fight, but it's also one of those fights where, if you take this loss, you're going to, you sort of drop any sort of momentum that you've had. And she had a loss against Lauren Murphy. Everybody understands Lauren Murphy's super, super tough. She's, probably one of these ones that, everybody is like, or if there's going to be somebody that would possibly have given a hard time for the champ, that was it. We saw that that's not the case. But still, this is a tough one. This is a fight where if she wins or loses, we could be seeing nearing the end of JoJo. And as much as I like JoJo and like seeing her around, you know, having, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, her last 5 fights, she's lost 3 of those fights. Yeah. If she lose another one, we're seeing fighters getting let go on wins recently. And she's about that activity level that I wouldn't be surprised if after this, that this could be one of the ones that we maybe don't see JoJo afterwards. And I hate it being a last, you know, a short notice fight where she doesn't have a lot to gain out of this, you know, at all. If she beats her, people can just be like, oh, okay, well, it was a short notice fight, you know, blah, 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 you know. I don't know. I hope JoJo wins. I mean, because we, like you said, everybody loves seeing JoJo on fight weeks. You know, JoJo's fun to be around. I love her accent. I love imitating her accent, which I do so poorly. but this is a tough one, and she's got a really, really tough one in front of her. I like how JoJo likes to stand in there and throw hands and do that sort of thing, but she's going against a really, really tough opponent who is big. I mean, Sally is no small person, but she just feels big, you know. She feels big in there, and I don't know. You know, maybe JoJo goes in there and starches her and gets offered. You know, I'm not even sure if she's near the end of her contract, but it's just unfortunate. I feel we're in this time now. We're going to be seeing a lot of turnover happening. Mm-hmm. Lately, especially with the Contender Series bringing in more fighters than they ever did before.
Yep.
We've only heard of a few fighters recently either being released or letting their contracts fight out. I feel like before the end of the year is over, we're going to have some more on that list.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I hope JoJo's not one of those, but I wouldn't be surprised just because I feel like she's right around that level that they're starting to let these people fight out, you know. So I'd hate to think that this is her last fight. Again, I don't know if this is the last on her contract. I mean, it's not like fighters just always going into fight week saying, oh, this is my last fight, so I really need a good performance or whatever. Just who knows? Yeah. I don't know.
Kind of brought me down there, man. I know.
Kind of you know, sad. We're talking about her wedding and other stuff. And I don't know. It's her most joyous time of her life, you know, but wouldn't that be the universe to just up and rear its head and be a real asshole, like, after a wedding and then say win or lose, they fight out a contract.
Oh, man. All right. Well, listen, let's move past that so I don't get too depressed this evening. The main card opens up with Adrian Yanez versus Davey Grant. Adrian Yanez, by the way, how about the star power of Adrian Yanez, man? He had the longest interview of the day, and you could tell. I think he was, obviously I'm asking everybody questions, but I think he was the one that the most other media were involved in talking to and most, engaged by. And I understand why. I mean, 3-0, three performance bonuses, man. This is the real deal. And look, Davey Grant's tough, and he's going to make it a fight. But this looks like an opportunity for Adrian Yanez to turn in another impressive performance, because I think stylistically this is going to be an absolute scrap.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. Davey's tough as nails, and Adrian just pulls out fantastic fights, man. His fights are really fun. That fight with him and Costa was awesome. You're right. I mean, he's just very honest and open. So his interview, he was very just sort of giving of, you know, he was very, very open about whatever. So it was fun listening to him talk. And every time he's got on the mic, man, it's not like he was ever bad. I can't ever remember him being like not so good up there on the mic. But every time he just seems better engaged. And
he's getting more comfortable.
It was a fantastic interview up there, man. He's doing everything that's right in what you expect, like, a future star of the sport to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's putting on fantastic win. He's getting bonuses. He's good on the mic. He's a young, good-looking dude, you know. I mean, he's got everything going for him. And then across the ring, the octagon from him, I mean, how can you not like Davey?
Guy's the best.
His energy when he comes in the press room is just so fun. His accent is outrageous. I love it. And, this is another one where it's like you don't want either guy to lose, because both guys seem, you know, wonderful. I think I pick Yanez in this one. But, man, I love Davey, man. He is just about as fun as a guy as he seems. I mean, he just seems like he'd be a fun guy to be like one of your friends that you're hitting the bar with afterwards, because you feel like you'd be rolling the whole time, because he just seems like a real fun, down-to-earth dude. But he's also super tough, man. He's got great hands. He's got a great chin. I think, you know, if there's a guy that's going to take some of those crazy things that Yanez might throw out there, this is going to be that cat. But I don't know, man. I think it's just going to be whoever, you know, can his chin hold up, you know, because we've seen Yanez go the whole time, three rounds of just fantastic high action. And this could be this, at least when you're looking at the two fighters in it, this is definitely two people. If we think that is there any possibility of him getting another bonus, this is the kind of fighter you want, because you're going to have a fighter that's not going to be running from him.
That's right.
By any means. Davey doesn't run. Davey's going to be right in his face, and it's going to be a fantastic fight. If I had to pick a fight of the night before it start candidate, for sure, this would probably be near the top of my list.
I'm right with you right there. So I think the main card is going to get started off with an absolute bang, man. So I'm looking forward to that. Prelims, listen, obviously Pat Sabatini, another former CFSC champ. Yeah. That's the reason, you know, so much CFSC crew is rolling in town. They got a pair of former champions on the card. So, you know, fighting Tucker Lutz, I'm excited to see Pat Sabatini back in action. You know, a couple good names on the prelims that are going to be there. Lupe Godin is stepping in on short notice, man. That's her third fight in, I think, 43 days is
this is nuts.
Absolutely,
man.
Nuts. I think, and I think for her, it's a good stylistic matchup. I'm a big fan of Loma Lekbumi, yeah. But when you think of Lupe Godin and her wrestling against Lekbumi's Muay Thai, I kind of like Godin is there. So we'll see how it plays out. Terrence McKinney, of course, the big story around him is that Michael Chiesa was his high school wrestling coach, which is pretty neat to see there. Sean Soriano, another CFSC vet on the prelims as well. Rafa Garcia and Natan Levy could be a great card. Great fight. So I'm saying this, I don't think we have as many, like, I mean, last week I just knew, I was like, man, I think we're in for a special treat, and it absolutely delivered. This one, I still think we're going to have some highlights, but I mean, look, last week's kind of tough to live up to for sure, but I still think it's going to be an entertaining card, so I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sorry that you'll be working while I'm not, but I appreciate putting in the grind.
You better not take your drunk ass into the press room reeking of alcohol and just making us all jealous, coming there all just... I'm like, motherfucker.
Are you suggesting that if I've had too much to drink, I sometimes get a little bit loud? Was that one of the things that you were...
No, yeah. It'd be really crazy if you got quiet. Like, if that's when Morgan got quiet, was when you got drunk. But it just amplifies. It completely amplifies. But like you said on the card, just quickly, you're right. I think last week you could look on it, and the star power was so strong top to bottom, you just knew it was going to be good. Mm-hmm. This card, I think you have the little pockets of it, and then there's still those names that, you know, just like back in the day when Dana was talking about what fight nights were supposed to be, fight nights were going to be the ones where those up-and-comers really were, if they were able to stand out, they broke into the big time. And this is like one of those cards where the names might not all be there top to bottom, but it doesn't mean that the performances won't. So you're right. I mean, this could be one of those sneaky ones that everybody was like, man, you know, I should have watched that one. And this one you can, because it's free.
It's free. Everybody's got ESPN Plus. It's free. It's free. Yeah. I mean, but literally, really, you should have ESPN Plus. There's a lot of programming.
For the price, you really, really should. I mean, it's crazy. It's so stupid cheap. And then you could just be like me and just get the Disney bundle, which is like $13.99, because then you get Disney, Hulu, and ESPN Plus.
That's pretty good. That's a lot of programming.
It's ridiculously good. It's less than like what I pay, I think, for HBO Max or whatever.
Which, HBO Max is good too, though.
I know. I like it because they bring out the movies every once in a while. Like Dune, I was going to go watch it, the movie, and I didn't go one day. And I was like, man, maybe I'll go tomorrow. Turn on HBO Max just to see what was on there. Yeah. And the movie was there. Yep. I was like, okay. Yeah. I was like, so that's why I kept it, because they do little things like that as well as some of the shows in there.
Yeah, HBO
well.
Max is solid. I'll recommend that. All right, listen.
It's not cheap.
It's good. But it's good. All right, listen. Like I said, I've got to go. I've got to get on a plane in a couple hours. But I did want to say a couple things. Over at patreon.com/MMAroadshow, Mark Fellows had dropped a comment over there. Obviously, Mark Fellows, longtime supporter of the show. We really appreciate it, man. He did say, any word on a location for UFC 271, Adesanya versus Whitaker, hearing Vegas, Texas, or Abu Dhabi? What's your money on? JM and CC.
It's at your mom's house.
Wow. Wow. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I just had to get that in before you did like a real answer.
That's hilarious. Listen, I will say this. So as far as the upcoming schedule goes, I mean, obviously we know Anaheim for the pay-per-view in January. We keep hearing the fighters talking about it. You know, staff really not sure yet, but you know, we keep hearing Houston in February. That seems to be the prevailing wisdom, is that the pay-per-view in February will be in Houston. I have been hearing that there's a possibility the UFC might go to Ohio again.
as soon as February. I don't know if that's for a pay-per-view or a fight night, so I think there's maybe a possibility that maybe there's a pay-per-view in Houston and a fight night in Ohio. I don't know if that's going to happen yet, but I keep hearing that. We also keep hearing about March for a potential London date as well, so finally getting back over to England as well. Again, not sure if that's a pay-per-view or a fight night, but those are just the cities we keep hearing. Obviously, I guess always worth mentioning everything with a grain of salt right now, right? Because when it comes to COVID, man, things can change in an instant. And, you know, one thing you think you're going there and then the next thing you're not. So those are things we keep hearing in terms of what 2022 might look like to start out with. I still think the Apex is going to be, hosting a lot of shows, but it does seem like maybe a couple little fight nights at least dabbling here and there and getting back on the road. So that's good. I mean, listen, it's such an argument because people are saying that, and it's so true. You know, the money that the UFC is saving, it's big. I mean, the UFC is saving a ton of money by staying at the Apex. It's really good. But there's that aspect of it, and I completely agree with Dana when he says that. Part of what you're doing when you're out on the road is you're creating more fans, right? I mean, the first time you go to a live event, that's when you go, oh, my God, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life, you know? And it's – you're not the same level of fan if you've never been to a live event, you know what I mean? And I don't mean to – I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody that hasn't been to a live event. I'm not saying you're not hardcore. No, you can be. But in terms of, like, converting – casuals or converting newcomers to being hardcore fans, it's that first live event and the music and the lights and the roar of the crowd. And so even though they could save money by staying at the Apex, I think you kind of look at it as almost like the marketing / advertising benefit that you get when you take it on the road. And I think that's why they do want to get back on the road at least a little bit.
Yeah, and even the fighters. I mean, like, I think the fights we get when the fights are in front of fans is definitely not that they don't put on kick-ass performances in the Apex, because we've seen absolutely barn burners in there. But the level of fights that we see when fighters are able to embrace the energy from the crowd, it's always exponentially better than what we see in the Apex. Because, I mean, when they're down and they're hurting and they hear the roar of the crowd, they're standing up from the stool, they're acknowledging the crowds, they're waving their arms, they're like, bring it on. And then we just get fucking just wild ass fights, you know? So there's nothing. I mean, even for the fights, you know, I think you're completely right. You know, it's the best marketing tool is when the UFC goes to your town, the town's, you know, livened up. It's in every bar that you see, and you're seeing people get out there and you get the little fan stuff in the city. And that's always cool. But man, when you're watching those fights, when they're in front of crowds, it is always so much better. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love these fights of the Apex. It's super easy just to go down the street and do their thing. But man, watching the fights and even when they flash to the crowd every once in a while, and you could see the faces of the people in the crowd. How can you not get hyped up, man? Just watching it, because we've all been there, and you know, it's one of those collective sort of like, oh yes, like once fights are going down and you're seeing everybody react to it, that just sort of group, you know, hive mind of everybody just like, oh man, violence, let's do this, you know. And it's just so awesome. And oh man, it's something, man. But I'm looking forward to some of these ones, man. We've heard today, you know, like Columbus is owed a show, man. I was looking forward to getting back and seeing that show last year or whenever fuck that was. Was that 2 years ago? Yeah, I was going to say, man, I can't even remember. Just feels like so long ago. But man, it'd be so good to start getting out to some of those places. I mean, no offense to Florida and Arizona and Texas, you know, but man, we've been there and done that. Let's start opening this thing up again and get back to cities that we want to actually go to.
Wow, sir.
Shots fired.
Sir, I want to go to Texas. I like going to Texas.
I know you do. You love Texas.
Of course. That's home to me, man.
You got that Houston one coming up.
I'm looking forward to it. So it looks like I think maybe that fight will be in Houston. We'll find out for sure. Last thing I just want to mention real briefly. This morning, actually, Bob Bennett turned in his resignation. I think he's going to work through the end of the year, if I remember right. Resigning from the Nevada State Athletic Commission, which, you know, sad to see Bob go. Bob's always been a good dude. You know, up front, I will say Bob's, you know, far more into boxing than he is MMA, but he's always been upfront, honest, you know, a good guy to work with, a good guy to talk to, you know, all those things. So I've enjoyed Bob Bennett's time with the Nevada State Athletic Commission and wish him well in retirement. But I will say this, Jeff Mullen, if you're not
familiar with him. He is the one expected to take over. It just basically has to be signed off on by the governor to make it official. Everybody expects that to happen. But this guy has been involved in the MMA game from the absolute start. And the guy is knowledgeable, passionate. You've seen him. If you've watched our weigh-in streams, trust me, he's the one that's up there 90% of the time doing the weights.
Every contender series. That's like diehard. If you think like, oh, this guy's going to go on Tuesdays for this other show in a small little hotel lobby and do it, like he's there. He's there all the time. Yeah. So I know the diehards that are listening to this, I've seen this dude. And he's one that when he comes in there, he's got a good personality. And what does he do? He walks over and fist bumps. He's like, hey, have a good day, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, Bob never fist bumped me.
Well, listen.
Bob never said, hey, good morning. Well, he did say good morning.
He did say good morning, at least.
It's like the personalities are so different. Like, Jeff is awesome, man. I'm happy for him to get this promotion or whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
That's fantastic because, like you said, he's team MMA. And
yes.
That just means events and the way that things are going to go. And when it comes to protecting the fighters, doing everything, because Bob had his hands in everything.
Mm-hmm.
When they were talking about fixing the gloves, when they were talking about, you know, all that other little stuff that you don't really think about, that all falls into what this position's role is. And so to have a guy that whose heart and mind is completely about MMA,
yep,
as opposed to, hey, yes, boxing's my thing, but oh, yes, by the way, we also commission over MMA. This is a guy that's like, MMA's my jam. And that's awesome. It's awesome for the sport. We should be really, really, really happy that that's the guy that's going to be stepping up, because the other commissions kind of follow what the Nevada commission sort of does. So to have this cat take that role is really, really good for the sport.
I completely
agree.
Anytime that, you know, areas of conflict come up or issues that need to be dealt with that involve mixed martial arts, you can trust that he is coming from an educated perspective. It's not like, you know, just one where he's like somebody's filling him in and he's got to make a choice. No, this guy lives and breathes mixed martial arts. So I'm super excited about him being appointed and getting that all official and firmed up. Man, I think this is a great thing for the state of Nevada and for the sport as a whole. So good stuff. So I just wanted to mention that. So with that, I will say I gotta go. My Uber is getting here at 3:30 in the morning, and I still got a lot of stuff to do between now and then. It's gonna be a crazy weekend, but I'm looking forward to it. And then of course you and I both have a little bit of vacation time coming up with the Thanksgiving week. But of course that doesn't mean that there won't be an MMA roadshow because the streak does not
That's
stop.
Right. And it doesn't mean that we're going to actually be just sitting around. I'm like, oh, it's a week of constant moving. But it'll be good. It'll be good. It'll be good.
You'll be getting closer and closer to being done. And, of course, we'll bring you an episode because that's what we do. We have never missed one, 347 consecutive weeks. Just going to pat ourselves on the back for that. Sorry, we don't do it enough. I think we deserve it. It's something special. So anyway, that'll be coming to you. Tune in to CFFC. Watch the UFC. I'll be in the crowd. Cold coffee will be working.
Listen for Drunk John
Listen
in the
for
crowd.
Drunk John.
Listen for Drunk John in the crowd.
I can't wait. In the meantime, thanks for listening.